Let's pray, please. Heavenly Father, I just come before you, Lord, and I just ask that you be in every word, that you accomplish this mission, Lord God. And I thank you that you work through us in these tasks to just improve our walk. So I praise you, Father God. I praise you with all my heart. And I thank you, Lord, that your grace is so abundant and your mercies are new every morning. So the title of this is Who Shall I Send? In this Devo time, I was asked to share when I heard from the Lord concerning a mission. So I hope to weave how God's mighty hand worked through us, because it was a team, and hopefully this will be time well spent. In 1994, my sweet hubby and our 12-year-old at the time, Marissa, and I came to Calvary Chapel Ramona, and it was a great fit for us. We fell in love with everybody, and with the appeal of our little girl, she wanted to work in the nursery, so we started serving, which was new for us because we'd always just attended. And I pondered how God uses our kids sometimes to make us better servants. I recall I met a very sweet lady that day named Adrienne, and she had this little one, Serena. And then later I saw her in the store and saw that she had five more, and I was just like, no wonder she glows for Jesus. I mean, the friendship that was built right then and there. So since I accepted the task to do this, I'd been praying over what female example to use in the Bible. And, a gal who was a special agent for Jesus. So I chose the unnamed little girl in Mark 5, 35 through 43, and Matthew 9, 18 through 26. There's not a lot of detail, but I noticed something. As we were told, Jairus has a sick little girl. She's dying. And when Jesus arrived at their home, she was dead, so the wailing had already begun. But Jesus brought her back to life. He commanded her to get up, and she responded. So the simple point I wanted to make is action was required of her. For anyone to be used, we must respond, act, move, and do what he asks. I can only imagine, since the word doesn't really say much about the unnamed girl, she had to have a new take on God, praise, prayer. Did she actively serve as she grew? How did this affect the family, the town? God wants us to grasp becoming his special agents sooner than later. He works out all the details, but action is required on our part, my part. Those that know me know I love the worship part of church, from the first song to the last. And in my private Devo time, I try to always bring my praise first. This preps me completely for my Devo and my study time. I may sound like a broken record to some of you, but I can't help myself. Consider this about your worship. It will eclipse fear. It will energize you. And very importantly, it exhausts the enemy. Psalm 148:7 says to young and old, praise the Lord from the earth. Psalm 148, 149, and 50 are all about creation praising the Lord and how he takes pleasure in it. Try it at home. Before you start your Devo, play at least one praise song. Just belt it out. I mean, go for it. But if you're not moved by song, I encourage you to speak praise to him confidently, because he does inhabit the praises of his people. Psalm 22, 3. Yes, God knows everything. He knows his greatness. But in telling him, you're actually rooting yourself in his virtues. My Prince of Peace, Mighty God, Wonderful Counselor, Holy One, Lamb of God, Word of Life. Come on in, ladies. Come on in. You're strengthened. It adds to the reading of the word. It's another way to water the seeds in your heart and hear from the Lord. These seeds I'm talking about are possibly acts, tasks, or ministry ideas that are building in your heart or your spirit. So on the topic of worship at Calvary Chapel Ramona, we used to sing a song titled, Send Me, Lord, based on Isaiah 6:8. Does anyone remember that one? Okay. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send? Who will go for us? And I said, Here I am, Lord, send me. Now, in the fall of 95, Pastor Rob approached me with a brochure by Samaritan's Purse about a project called Operation Christmas Child. Everyone familiar with that? Okay, but if there's anyone that isn't, it's a ministry that hands out shoeboxes filled with gifts, and they're given to children and delivered all over the world in Jesus' name. They're still doing it. Pastor Rob wanted our church to be part and wanted to know if I would manage it and asked me to pray about it. It tugged on my heart immediately, but I prayed, and then I went back and I said yes. So our small Calvary Chapel did this for 2 years. The first year we collected like 20 boxes, and the second year it was about 40-ish. At home, my mom and dad, my family, we were all so excited to do it. It was fun. And I always had a warm, fuzzy feeling about it, but I couldn't pinpoint it. Then in 97, Pastor Rob asked me, he had heard of a Calvary Chapel, Xochimilco. And this was a Calvary that had an American missionary family doing God's work in a slum in Tijuana. And it was built on the outskirts of the town and in the town dump. It planted a seed in Rob's heart when he heard about it, and he had an idea. Could we do the shoebox thing down in Tijuana for this church and their orphanage? It really stirred in my heart, and I thought, oh, I hate going to stinky Tijuana. I never have liked it. Sorry, Lord. But what Rob didn't know was when I was a child, my daddy had a gift shoebox vision for the poor children in Tijuana. I'll say this about my dad. His nickname was Lalo, and he was born in the Depression time in Fredericksburg, Texas. He'd been taken to Mexico when he was little to look for work because the times were so hard. He had lived through very tough times. And now he was a hardworking dad, had five of us in a Catholic school. And one holiday, he approached the principal and asked her, if he could start a drive where every classroom collected a shoebox with gifts in it, and we would take it to Tijuana, and we would deliver them as a family. Well, it must have been really hard times because I only remember the boxes that my family put together. Sadly, I could spend hours on how I was worrying at the present time and stressing and fretting about wanting to do the TJ mission and really not wanting to do it. I'm not asking for a reply, but anybody else worry so much that they worry about worrying? I mean, okay. I was working full time. I had my sick parents living with me. And I just felt so inadequately capable for the task. When I spoke Spanish at home, my bilingual parents laughed, always. And I mean like watching the movie Home Alone kind of laugh. It was that bad. I've always just barely gotten by. I don't read or write it much, but I understand it all. And so I know in my heart he's a big God, but I always tend to contain him when I'm in fear, and I get stuck on me. So my point here, I wasn't focused on him. I was focusing on all I wasn't. And I felt like a female Moses, and I thought, I'm not adequate. I'm not eloquent in Spanish. I don't do well in front of large groups of people. In fear, I focus on my weaknesses, my flaws, my doubts, my concerns. And I was turning it into I mission or mission me. Shame on me. But the powerful word, like 2 Corinthians 2:12-9, My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Or Joshua 1:9, have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid. Neither be thou dismayed, pardon me. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Focus on his perfect attributes, and then your day will be filled with opportunity. So back to Rob asking if I wanted to change the direction from Operation Christmas Child and lead up a Tijuana shoebox delivery. I could drive down there with two of our church youth pastors and meet the missionaries. And that in itself was quite an adventure. We met Pastor Ron Brink and joined him for a few tasks of that day. Like going to the home of a prostitute who wanted him to take her disabled four-year-old boy. She couldn't deal with the difficulty anymore. So we went. Now, all the dwellings were in the middle of this dump, and there was a blend of sheds, shacks, and then some small, tiny houses. Some did have water and electricity. This one was a really small-sized brick one that didn't even have a front door. It just had a towel, a part of a towel. And they cooked outside in the dirt in a ring of rocks with wood amidst all the trash. So we approached, and inside were these two beautiful small boys. One was paralyzed from the neck down, and he was laying on the dirt, and he was only in a black trash bag as a diaper. The older boy, who was maybe 5 or 6, was his caretaker. And the room had piles of trash, this or that, an old couch, looked 50 years old, bricks with a plywood for a really low little table. And then right away, this neighbor came over and said, hey, I have my own family to worry about, but that lady has been leaving them for longer periods of time. And she said, they've only eaten like hard corn tortillas. And these little cuties were so happy to see us, the two boys. They were all giggles, all smiles. And then their mom showed up. And she was very pretty, but she had a completely badly beaten face. Ron and she discussed the possibility of the boys going to another missionary home for disabled. And she informed them, well, they both have to go, because they'll die apart. They have to be together. I could understand the conversation completely, and I felt like I'd been transported to another planet, like one called Misery. But God used that day to make the seeds in my heart and my spirit beg for watering. Ron said that at the time, Jehovah Witness faith was the fastest growing faith in Mexico. And now, ladies, it's Islam. And yes, the little boys were eventually moved to safety. But when I returned, I shared with Rob my dad's shoebox gift drive and how the seeds, I realized there were seeds in my heart. And God always activates those seeds in his time. So with big concerns over the when, where, what, how, I said yes to Rob. As his children, we know he has a plan for our lives, down to this day and the hour. We're to be encouraged through things like Jeremiah 29:11-13. For I know the thoughts I have towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me. You will search for me with all your heart. So it's key to pray and ask the Lord for help and direction. Ask for a clear vision, what he wants of you, to reinforce your trust and his power. When a God seed is there, sometimes you know it. Other times you must ask for verification. If you don't hear clearly, examine your heart. Are you under God's full submission? By full submission, I do mean your mind, your body, and your soul. I think I heard Greg Laurie say this. Don't be who you are in Eve. Be who you are in Jesus. In Psalm 61, oh God, listen to my cry and hear my prayer. He always has, and he always will. Jeremiah 6:16, ask where the good way is and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. He verifies the tasks through strength, joy, and peace, and he goes before us. Now unto him who is able to keep you from falling, Jude 1:24. So back in time, I had heard from the Lord through the song, Who Shall I Send?, based on Isaiah 68. There were specific ministry seeds in my heart, and I said yes to Rob. We would transition from Operation Christmas Child to going to Tijuana, Mexico. In the fall of 97, Operation Baja Blessing was born. At Christmas time, around December 23rd, we took 65, maybe 75 boxes to what I call Xochimilco, and also to the prison down there. Because believe it or not, well, I don't know about now, but back then there were kids that were incarcerated with their parents. We loaded up the Calvary bus, and Nikki Joe was our bus driver, and we headed down there. And then we split up. Mari, myself, and I think three other gals would get dropped off in Xochi with as many boxes as we could walk around and carry. And felt a little vulnerable that day, yeah, without our security team. Our little team of ladies knocked on doors and said, come meet us at the Gringos Church, Ron's little shed, and we have something we want to share. Ron, Rob, Joel, and a few other men were driven by Nikki to the prison in the heart of TJ. Nikki was instructed to lay down in the bus as not to be seen. We were all not very sure how the day was going to go, but we knew God was with us. The fellows, they had to follow prison protocol, and they went, they delivered boxes, they sang some songs, and they said it was like an experience from a movie. It was surreal. It was like Waterworld, because the guards on the prison walls were walking around with their Uzis, it was just crazy. Crazy, crazy for them, crazy for us. But my life verse had a new meaning, Deuteronomy 31:6, and this is the NIV. So be strong and courageous, do not be afraid, and do not panic before them. For the Lord your God will personally go ahead of you. He will neither fail you nor abandon you. Suffice it to say, we saw, felt, and knew our God was mighty. A few days later, we debriefed, we shared stories, and we were so overwhelmed how God had worked it out. And the next year, the two teams split up that way, and the third year, for security reasons, we knew we were going to have to change it. So I'm going to fast forward to what it eventually became. And this was all through people that prayed us up and people that heard the Lord and said, send me, Lord. They sacrificed their day. We all went as a team. Sometimes it would be 75 to over well over 100. Now, the Xochi Calvary Chapel was growing, and he had several buildings now in a fenced area, and it was like a compound. And during my time of asking the Lord about what to do, I saw a festival idea in my head, like, I guess a vision, a dream. So I wanted to host a festival, a carnival, for the children, for the day, and then at the end we would hand out the boxes. So I presented the idea to Rob and Ron, and they loved it. Ron knew his church body would now assist us. So we had different stations. The first part was the children would attend a Spanish gospel puppet show, and we would present Jesus, we would tell them why we were there. We told them, then we cooked and fed the guests hot dogs, chips, fresh popcorn, cotton candy. Free haircuts were given, and their pictures were taken. Now, mind you, some of them had never seen their images or a photo of themselves, so they really got a kick out of that. They didn't own mirrors, a lot of them. And they even thought just the pretty box was so special. And so when they opened it and they saw there were presents, they were just blown away. Well, there were a lot of trials too during this time frame. So we gear up, like I said, this is what we did. And in 97, right about 2 weeks before our first festival, Carnival one, my dad ended up in the hospital with a failing heart. And Jesus did call him home that week. So the big day came, and it was overwhelming, but it was so good. And near the end, I'm standing there just so overwhelmed at what had just transpired through all these people and these children. And I thought, oh, I can't wait to tell Dad. And then I went, oh, he's gone. But you know what? My mighty God, he sent this mom and her little three-year-old back in. And she said to him in Spanish, tell her in English, son. And he said, thank you. He was so shy, he couldn't even look at me. So I bent down and I looked at him. And his eyes were black as coal, like my mom's. Lollies. And I asked him in Spanish, what's your name? And he said, Lalo, which was my dad's nickname. God above just wanted to just, you know, give me that blessing. He's so in control of everything, every detail. So we did Operation Baja Blessing for about 9-10 years. I can't remember. And then it got really hard to cross because of the government, security. So we couldn't go 1 year. And we were all ready to go. But the boxes did eventually get there, which, praise the Lord. And I grieved for a long time when the mission ended. But as Ecclesiastic 3 reads, to everything there is a season. And that season had come to an end. God only knows why. He knows best, probably for our security. In the final years of Operation Baja Blessing, we would take 1,000 gifts plus each year. And it was always, always exactly precisely how God had planned. And one other glitch I have to mention. He always led. He handled the obstacles. But we were told by Ron when he said goodbye to us, your bus has to be in lane 1 to get back over the border. The only problem was what we thought was lane 1 ended up being lane 26. So there we were at the front of lane 26, and we needed to be in lane 1. And we just cried out in prayer. The whole bus was just, you know, praying, and God answered. He literally parted the 26 solid congested lanes of traffic, and we went over. Nikki Joe, our anointed bus driver, we were like so stoked. So to fast forward here, I think we took between 9,000 and 10,000 boxes total before it came to an end. We wanted Jesus to come alive to these little recipients through the gifts, and as Psalm 115:1 says, not to us, Lord, but to you goes all the glory, your unfailing love and faithfulness. Now, I could try and stand up here and say I knew how important devotions were back then. That's not true. Not just reading the word, but applying it to my day. It took accepting God's hand and saying, yes, send me, for real spiritual growth. That true servanthood comes from watering the seeds in my heart. I don't know, or I didn't know back then, but I've learned getting over myself and not to focus all that I'm not, right? No one should liken themselves to failure when it's a God-given task. Be strengthened by his holiness and his perfection. Draw near to him in your praise, and he will grow closer to you. In closing, this is what little old me finally realized. Our whole lives are mission possible. Yes, with God, for God, and because of God. little trembly but confident, the great I am will use whoever, whenever, for whatever. So be encouraged and listening for when he asks, who shall I send? Thank you, ladies. Thank you, Father God, for your word and your grace and your mercy and the seeds in our heart, and just praise you, Father God, for my church body, because you've used them so dramatically in my life. But it took me stepping up, and I thank you, Lord God, that you're glorified always in your word, and I just praise you, Father God. Thank you, Lord, in your holy name. Amen.